All right, welcome back to another episode of Karting Dads. Today we're talking about buying a kid's kart. I recently purchased one for my son, and in this episode we'll kind of take you through the whole process of how we came across it, all the safety gear we're buying, and kind of the way that we're going to go about with having him in this kart. So I appreciate you guys listening, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
All right. So what's going on, dude?
Oh, not much, man. Just getting ready to go do a little bit of yard stuff. So what about you? What you got going on?
Not much. Just got done doing all my yard work yesterday. I got to finish up a little bit, but not too much. But today is 6 days until D-Day.
So you got everything you need?
Pretty much. So, we're going to do this episode here on, I bought my son a kid's kart. And, I think it's an old Fullerton kart because there's no markings on it, no nothing. And I've been doing all kind of research to find out what it is. And
right.
That's the only thing I could think of. So, the story behind it is I was talking with Emmanuel for a while about, you know, finding a kid's kart. And we're debating if we should do it or not. And, you know, I just kind of got this itch. It's like, you know what? Let me start just searching for them. And when I was searching for them, they were expensive. I guess it just wasn't the right time to buy. And, you know, they're looking at $1,200, $1,600, $2,000. You know, they're all up and down. And so I kind of quit. And I was like, you know what? This is ridiculous. Maybe my son's too young. So one day I just go online and sure enough, a guy kind of local to us has a kid kart for sale. And he says, just make an offer. So I asked him, I'm like, okay, no problem, $1. So I asked him, I'm like, hey man, you know, I have an old, not an old, but I have a Coyote chassis that, you know, if you're willing to trade and, you know, maybe we can work something out. And the guy does dirt, and he goes, I just bought it for my kids to go putz around in. He goes, I don't really want anything for it, you know, but I bought it for $200, so if I get $200 out of it, you know, you can have it. So immediately I'm like, done deal, take it off, I'll be out your way. So I called Dad, and, you know, we went to the bank real quick, and we drove out there, which it's only without traffic maybe a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
But of course, when you're excited to go pick up something, all the traffic is going to be bad. So it took us like 2 hours to get out there.
Oh my God.
Sure enough, we picked up this cart and it has full bodywork, steering wheel, pedals, wheels, tires, a Comer 50, axle chain, everything. It is a running cart for $200.
The motor alone is worth, you know, double that. So it's like, that's cool.
Right. And so when we got there, we asked the guys, like, man, does it run? He's like, yeah. He goes, just the clutch isn't very good because he said a spring is broke. And so he started up, and on the first pull, it started up. And I was like, done deal. Here you go.
Yeah.
So he asked me if I had a stand for a cart. And I said, no, I don't. He goes, well, you know, if you want the stand, and they're $50, you can have it. So I was like, for $50 for a freaking cart stand, man, what are you giving things away? Here, I'll take it. So I got,
yeah, no,
so I got a cart.
When you tell me, I wanted a cart stand.
Yeah, it's a nice folding cart stand for, you know, it's, you know, the wheels on it or the tires on it are, you know, a little dry rotted, but, you know, what cart stand's not.
Right.
But no, I mean, it's in good shape.
Yeah, so wait, so the clutch thing, so we talked about it for a little bit, like he started it and it started right up, so what's the whole deal with the clutch when you got it home, what did you find out?
Okay, so when I got it home, I took the clutch apart and there's three springs just like in our Stinger clutches, and one of the springs came out, so I'm like, okay, that's not a problem, I'll just go online and, you know, start looking up the parts for it. Well, once I started taking everything out, I've noticed that the shoes, like the metal that's on the shoes to grab to the drum, half of it's missing. And I'm like, okay, man, maybe these pads are done. I need to order pads too. So I go online and I start researching all the stuff, you know, the whole clutch drive, and everything for the Comer 50. And then I noticed that there's also a bearing that goes inside the drum and the output shaft of the motor. And all I have was is a sleeve. So I'm like, okay, well, that's another part. I go and start looking up the prices, and the prices for this stuff is just absolutely ridiculous. I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I might as well just get a new clutch and just start new. Well, a new clutch is like $370.
Yep.
And I'm like, you guys are crazy. And then pads are $190. And so, like, I got on the phone immediately with Dad. I think I called you, too. And I'm like, guys, you know, the amount of money for this cart is stupid. Like, this is a kid's cart. This is for a 5 to 7 year old to get in the karting. You know, parents to get their kids in the karting. And your first package for a kid to get in a karting at a young age is this expensive?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a daughter, so like the cheerleading costs and the camps and stuff, you know, like a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, no, that's
so
that's
expensive.
Me. Don't worry about that yet.
Like that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, you know, this is like travel T ball. You know, all you know,
yep.
I was just befuddled because we have our motors with the 206 and you know, our clutches are what, $130?
Yeah.
Our pads are $30 a piece. You know, I don't know.
Springs
couldn't wrap my head around
it. A dollar.
Yeah, like I couldn't
dollar,
wrap
a dollar
my head
50.
Around it.
Right. Yeah, no, it's not affordable. You know, it's a sport that you get into, and motorsport has never been cheap, right? You start with the big fortune to get a small fortune, that whole deal. So, yeah, I figured once you said it, I looked it up too, and I go, holy crap, this is not for the faint-hearted, that's for sure. But, I mean, parents do it all day, so, you know, I guess the rewards are there if you can just get going, you know?
Yeah, and it's just, so I go back and I start looking for used stuff, and of course you can't find anything used. So I reached into my book and I'm like, you know what? Ron has to know something.
Yep.
Ron has to know something. So I called Ron and he started sending me all these pictures. So he's like, oh, I have the shoes and I have the springs and I have this and I have that. Because this, you know, when Corey first started, when he was 7 or 8, I'm like, do you still have all this stuff in a box? So I ended up getting everything from Ron besides the bearing and the sleeve because he had different sleeves and bearings and none of them like quite fit right. So I just told him I'm going to go ahead and order the stuff from Comet and get it here. So on Saturday, we'll have the whole cart put together and up and running and going to wrap the whole cart on the stand in wrapping paper. So when he comes home from bowling, he'll be able to open it up.
Just wait, hold on. You're wrapping the whole cart?
I'm wrapping the whole
put
cart.
Just put a bow on the driver Nassau panel. You have to wrap the whole thing up.
I'm just gonna take, you know, a whole thick of wrapping paper, just wrap the whole thing. You're a little kid. You want to open a big old present. You don't want, like, you know, the whole point of presents for little kids is to wrap, you know, tear the paper up, unwrap it. It's going to be awesome.
That is
I'll probably
true.
Video it. I'll probably video it and put it on our Facebook page or something. So everybody can see what the cart looks like and everything. Dude, it's so cool, man. Like I'm a little kid in the candy shop right now.
Yeah, no, I know the feeling, man. And speaking of which, my kids probably enjoy the wrapping paper more than whatever present we actually buy them. So you know, I can definitely relate there. It's going to be awesome. I'm bummed. You know, we can't be there to see it, but I'm a PBIR on Palm Beach Raceway with the cars next weekend, so I'm gonna miss out on that. But the video is gonna be awesome to watch.
Yeah, it's gonna be something else. And the cool thing about this whole process too is I've gotten my family, you know, my mom and dad in it, you know, into the concept of it. And I got my in-laws, they're on board with it. So everyone's pitching in money to, my mother-in-law bought him a helmet. My dad bought him the neck brace. My dad wants to buy the pedal adapters and everything. So like everyone wants to pitch in money, you know,
right,
and help with the car. So that's really cool, you know, cause he's only turning four.
That is awesome.
And, you know, trying to get two families involved with, you know, a sport that neither one of them do, you know, just cause
yeah,
you know, James's dad does it. You know, to me that's pretty
so
cool.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah,
support,
no, for
so.
Sure. Yeah, we gotta get them all out to watch them practice and stuff.
Yeah, my father-in-law wants to go back out to the track after he went to the Maxis race and saw how much fun we had, and he had a good time. So he wants to go back out for our next race. He'll be there.
Sweet. All right. So, I mean, just kind of staying with the whole kit cart theme. So the Comer. Like, what do you really know about the Comer? Like, the engine itself, what it does, and how much hours seem to have been running it, or what condition it's in? Did you, like, try to open it up or do anything? How much it costs to run? All that stuff.
So, opening it up, no, I have not opened it up. I looked at the rules on what the gearing and everything to run, and I could only run a 10 driver, 89 rear for him. Then once you get up
okay.
to the next level, it's like a 12 something. So there is companies that go through it and they blueprint the engine and get crazy into all that stuff. And I'm like, I'm not going that route. I'd much rather go to a 206 and be done with the Comer. Then, you know, start building this motor. So
yeah.
I've talked to, you know, some people about the Comers and they're all like, just get rid of it. It's, you know, it's a money pit. It's a money pit. It's a money pit. Okay. Well, I can't do that yet. So with fuel, I talked to some of the local guys here who run the two cycles, and I asked them about fuel, and, you know, they're recommending, you know, the race fuel. Well, as we know in cars, race fuel is not cheap. And so when they're like, oh, you know, race fuel, you C12 or whatever. And I go to research and it's like $90 for 5 gallons. I'm like, oh my God, here comes road racing in cars all over again. You know, you're on E80, you're on E85. I was on 101. And that was at the time, like what, 4 years ago or something like that. It was, $9 a gallon or something stupid. And then the oil mix is, I think, $8, and that makes, I don't know, 1 gallon or 2 gallons, something like that. So, you know,
damn,
you're looking at, you know, $20 per gallon. And I'm just like, dude, I love my 206 because it's 87 octane. At the most, you're going to pay $5 a gallon at Ocala, or, you know, you just go up to your local gas station and it's what, 381 or something like that. And
where are you paying three? It's 265
I'm
at.
Yeah, yeah. I think
you live in New York or something?
No. So like, I have all these numbers going through my head and I'm like, oh, this is crazy. So Kenny said he'd help me out with the mix. I told him I don't need a whole bunch, I just need enough to get started. So he said he'd hook me up with like a gallon of it. I'll just bring him a fuel can and he'll mix it up for me. So, I appreciate
awesome.
It. And, you know, Kenny's a good guy. He goes way out of his way for all the local guys who do two cycles. And, he's always at the track. Like sometimes I think he lives in the house in the back.
Yeah.
Cause he's always there and he's always helping everybody out.
A number of times I've seen Kenny rolling up with his big old truck, just like rolling up, like Kenny ain't even driving. He just pulled up to help Alex or bring something to someone. This is cool. It's awesome.
Yeah. He helped me switch out my first set of tires and I didn't even know him or, you know, seen him before. And I just got online.
That's right. He just posted. Yep. He just posted.
Yeah. I'm like, can someone help me with tires? He's like, yeah, meet me at the track. I'm like, okay. I don't know what you look like, but I'll start asking everybody about Kenny.
The only thing I could tell was he drives a big old truck.
Yep. Yeah.
Lifted.
So that's how we're gonna get started, and you know, I might let him putz around on the street here, in the neighborhood, since I live on a cul-de-sac. So he can't go too far, and no, that's it.
Yeah.
Cool. I know, like, going deep into the coma world or the two-cycle world, I really don't want that, no part of it, just because
yeah.
It's so many finicky things. Like, you go on I've been going on forums and doing research and, you know, changing out jets and all this other stuff. You have to get your cycle, you know, you have to get your mix right. You know, the heat of the exhaust tells you about the mix you're using and what this and what that. I'm like, man, I just want to pull a string and go.
Yeah.
I just want to pull the cord and go. I don't care about it. This to me is, as somebody from the outside looking in, like getting into the sport, this does not look like
right.
fun to me. This looks like nothing but work.
I don't want to scare anyone either, but I mean,
yeah.
Maybe we should just because we always do a good job of breaking it down. Let's look at everything that is part of getting started, right? So I'm just another karting dad somewhere trying to get my 5-year-old or 6-year-old, you know, into karting because it's something I think is cool we could do together. I mean, you were very fortunate to have found a kid kart for, you know, $200. But let's assume, you know, after getting the clutch sorted and everything, you're in it for, say, $400, right? If you end up doing a lot more, you're in it for $500. So somewhere between $500 and $1,000, right, you could find a kit cart in one condition or another. So you spend that $1,000 and you have a kit cart. I think I saw a Coyote kit cart pop up this week or today or yesterday.
Yeah, kit carts right now, kit carts and cadets are going crazy for sale throughout the country.
Yeah. They're all being listed. Yeah. I can't go no comedy goes to be listed, but, you know, it's all good. Oh, man.
I start selling them.
I know, right? I mean, Casey, I still got my eyes on you, brother. If Morgan doesn't take it, you know I'm in for it. So, yeah, I mean, you talk about the purchase cost, $1,000. You just kind of listed that if you're buying fuel, you know, by the gallon from, you know, whether it's VP or wherever it is, you're spending $9 or so, you know, a gallon. I mean, it stacks up. So, you know, just play even more affordable numbers, right? Like, all of this makes sense. $10 a gallon to run it. Kit cart tires are a little cheaper than ours, right? I mean, it should be. They're just 4.5 and – wait. They run 3.5 fronts and 4.5, right?
Yeah, they're 4.5, I believe. Which I'm just going to go to a shed. Luckily, at 103rd, we have a tire shed. That's like a recycling shed. And that's all I'm going to do is just, I mean, I'm not going to buy him new tires. There's no need.
Yeah, yeah. So someone who doesn't have that, I mean, it might be a good idea to just start asking around, you know.
Takeoff.
Well, you know. Yep, ask for takeoffs from other people. And then you got to obviously spend time and changing the tire and stuff. But, again, no big deal. This is assuming that you're already in it, but if you're not in it, you know, and you're starting from the ground up, yeah, you're going to need some help from other people.
Right.
And then once you're done, yeah, you have a cul-de-sac, and it's safe enough. I don't recommend anyone ever drive a cart on the street, ever. That's just me. We've had a buddy die just because he was driving a shifter cart in the street, and some SUV came around from the corner, and we lost a really good friend in NASA. So I don't ever want to see a go-kart in the street. But, you know, in the cul-de-sac, in the suburbia, I guess it's a different thing. So, but for someone who doesn't have that, you're also talking about getting your kid out there on practice days. And then to go out practice, you need, what, a helmet? You need a neck protector. You need a rib protector. So once you put, like, let's put some dollar values on what it costs. And then that way, some new carton dad is better prepared for it. Like, what's the helmet cost right now? You can get lucky and find one for about $100, but realistically, if you're buying new, you're affordable helmets start around $200.
Right.
So
when it comes to safety equipment for a kick cart, like safety equipment for any autosport whatsoever, going like the cheap route just to get by, I don't recommend whatsoever, because you never know, right? You never know that just because you want to, you know, save money on, you know, taking a used helmet that you don't know if it's been dropped or cracked, just so you can have that extra money to buy, you know, something else. This will work for so long. This will be a Band-Aid. With safety equipment, do not Band-Aid anything whatsoever. Yeah. And that's like my biggest thing I could give to any dad getting started is when it comes to the safety of your kid or yourself in a cart, whether it's brakes, fuel lines, helmets, gloves, neck braces, rib protectors, a whole suit, whatever it is, don't skimp out. Don't be like, we'll get it next time. Because when it comes to the next time, there won't be, you know, it'll always be, oh, we'll get it next time. You know, procrastination.
Right.
So,
definitely.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I wanted to get to, right? It's not just about finding a $500 cart and you're done. You also want to make sure you put in, you know, aside the right budget for those extra things, right? Make sure you have a budget for a good helmet, right? A good neck brace. Even if you don't go with a full, you know, Armadillo style with the whole, you know, back and neck thing, even if you just do a standard good neck brace, just make sure you get a good one, right? Don't just get some raggedy one that won't hold its form. And then obviously depending on how your kid sits in the cart, and yeah, if you're just trying out some pavement somewhere and it's no big deal, you probably get by. But if your kid is going to do any kind of actual driving on track with other carts, and you want to make sure your kid has a rib protector, because it doesn't take anything for one kid to decide, I'm not going to steer anymore. And, you know, it's like their foot is on it and they're not steering and your kid is in the way. And next thing you know, it's a T-bone and your kid's ribs are getting jammed into, you know, the side of a seat.
Right.
And it hardly happens. But, you know, again, just that basic precaution of having that rib protector on there is so crucial. But just make sure you have it. Don't ever have to deal with, I never thought it would happen, and then it did, you know. So
yep.
That's one thing for sure. My kids, obviously, Sophie's 4, Liam is 2.5, he'll be 3. Initially, we had thought that the kids were both going to be really into it. Sophie loves driving her, you know, four-wheelers and power wheels and stuff. She is an absolute rock in those things. We took all the governors off. I replaced all the 12-volt batteries that came with it with 24-volt batteries from Amazon. And, you know, she no F's given. She's, like, flooring it, cruising around. Like, she just laughs when it's the wheel spinning everywhere. So she's fine handling speed, steering. Like, she does her own slalom course. In our yard, we got, you know, 4 or 5 sago palms at about 11 to 13 feet apart, and she just, like, slaloms through them, no problem. So she's fine there, but she also doesn't like the noise of anything loud, so we'll have to work it. And she's got these big, puffy ponytails or pigtails, whatever, right, just however her hair goes up. So as a dad, a guy, trying to figure out, like, how am I going to get her hair into a helmet? I got to take out her ponytails. And then we were watching this kid cart video on YouTube of this girl who had a pink cart and a white helmet, and they had glued pigtails right on the outside of the helmet, like pink pigtails. She's like, I want that. And I was like, okay, we'll get you that. So I got to find order a new white helmet, and we got to find some, you know, Hobby Lobby or whatever, pigtails in pink. And then, you know, I don't want to glue anything to the outside of a helmet, because, once again, just for the little safety background I have, I don't want any chemical compromising, you know, the helmet. But I understand, you know, my kid wants to have a little pigtail on there, so I'll be calling the other Ron, Ron Zappendorf, Discovery Parts, who's one of the smartest racing safety experts I know, and ask him, hey, what's acceptable to do to a helmet? So we'll be figuring something out. But, yeah, man, yeah, there are all those little things that play a factor. And obviously the most important message we've given everybody trying to get into karting is find something that's supported in your area. Find a class that, you know, you can run. Now, James is four, Sophie is four. We still have some time. Right now we just want them to putz around. But if your kid is five or six and, you know, you really want to get them into this, you know, go to your local track. You know, call around, ask around. You know, we're just leaving the, you know, just whatever we get usually, and we convince everyone to run the 206 in our area because that's the most supported class. You know, we went to Ocala and there were, you know, seven other classes. That's cool, and we could get any of those on a deal. Hell, there was a Voltaire engine that was on sale for $250. I mean, I'd like to have a kart motor for $250, but there'll be nobody to drive against or, you know, even help, even if I was just driving by myself. So that's another thing to keep in mind is, you know, go to your local track and find out. You know, if you're looking at a deal and someone has a deal with a, you know, a kid kart or a cadet kart with a, like a mini rock on it, and nobody runs mini rock where you are, you may not want to get that particular deal, or you may want to talk to the person selling it to try to sell it to you without the engine. Or if you can buy the engine and have someone else who is going to buy it from you, then that's fine. But ultimately, I think the point I'm trying to make is factor in all the little things that add to the success, right? And just get out there and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get started. I think that's important too. So, all right, getting off my high horse now.
No. Yeah, if you guys are looking for karts, and we tell people all the time, you know, we're on a lot of forums and a lot of pages, and, you know, somebody's always looking for a kart. If you need help with any karts, you know, kid karts, mini rock, shifter karts, just let us know. And, you know, we might know somebody who has one. You know, if not, we've seen a bunch of them. We're always online looking for karts. So if you need help with anything, you know, feel free to give us a holler. We'll definitely help you in the right direction. You know, hopefully, for instance, with Morgan, hopefully if he gets that eagle, you know, he posted online that he's looking for an eagle. And so we're like, hey, let's see if we can help you. And sure enough, we might have helped him. I don't know the whole details. He says that he's pretty close on the deal for it. So I hope so. Right. I hope he gets it. If not, you know, I hope you get it.
Yeah, I could always use a second eagle or a third eagle. I might have an eagle nest in my shop.
So, right. Yeah,
they are endangered species, right? There you go. I'm just preserving.
Yeah. So that's what I got, and you know, like I said, I'm going to video the whole
awesome,
reaction,
man.
And I've had it now for what, 2 months, so hiding it from them and keeping it from them. For me, that's been hard because there's so many times, you know, us going to the track, like, oh, I want to go to the track with you guys. And I'm like, I got something for you to drive if you want to go. But
all right. Well, oh, and we haven't talked about it. So how are you going to transport both?
I don't know yet. I can, if I take the SUV, I could fit it in the back of the SUV without the rear bumper on. So he could still sit in his car seat. And I could tow mine on the trailer. If not, a friend of mine has a 4x8 trailer that he said he would give to me after he gets done moving some stuff, and I can convert that to a 2-car trailer. I know we've been in talks about, you know, using the enclosed trailer that you have, but that means that I always have to take the SUV. And, you know, with us trying to keep things on the cheap, especially in towing, and towing with, you know, our daily driving small cars, I kind of want to stay to that, but I don't know. I might have to start sucking it up and using the SUV.
Yeah.
But I did get 29 miles to the gallon driving my car to and from Ocala at 75 miles an hour. It's not Prius, MPGs.
Yeah, but, you know, but I didn't take the Prius either, so you know, kind of. The chance of rain, and you're a little bit at this than I am. So your little open trailer has a box, and then your cart sits on top of the box, so you could take stuff off and put them in the box. And then obviously there's always a trunk and stuff, but my little open trailer is a little more open than yours, and once I take the Prius, I stuff everything we're taking, you know, canopies and tables and toolboxes and stuff. I have very little room left to basically take the cart apart, and then my seat is completely padded. It's fabric all the way, and just it's like, man, I was just dreading having my seat soak up all that water, you know.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, I'll just take the enclosed. I'll take the enclosed, and then I took the Durango. So, yeah, I think I only got 16 mpg, just awful. The Durango gets about 19, doing about 75, 80 almost the time. So, yeah, that little enclosed brought it down about 3 mpg, but it was fine. I've been actually looking up. Have you seen those little Arctic Air things? They're like little like personal air conditioners, whatever. You just add like cold water into them, and it's basically a fan up. Man, I spent like 20 minutes the other day. I can't remember when, like a week ago or something, just watching videos and looking at products like, you know, Arctic Air. Because I was thinking, especially if we, you know, we don't take a big enclosed trailer, just being able to get out of the hot sun, because the color was miserable.
Oh, man.
Dude, I'm not kidding. I went back and I tried to look at the video that I shot, the first like vlog-style video that I shot, and, I mean, I look like I'm having the life sucked out of me. It's like, yeah, this is not good. It didn't help that I was on no sleep, but I was thinking, man, next time we take it, the enclosure is, and it's a small, it's a 5x8. It's small enough that you could put, you know, two or three chairs in there and actually sit. And if I put one of the canopies, because I have three canopies, if I put one of the canopies over the enclosed trailer, that alone would help keep the temperature a little bit regulated in there. And then all I have to do is get some kind of airflow in there. Now I have my fan, but now I was thinking, man, if I could get that Arctic Air blowing cool air in that little space, or maybe even two of them, because they're only like 20 or 30 bucks.
Right.
If they work at all to regulate the temperature and drop it from what would be maybe like 90 or 95 in that thing down to 80 where it's okay, and with the fan blowing, oh, that would be awesome. But no luck. All the videos I watched said it didn't do jack. Oh, man, so I'm bummed. So now I'm kind of also shopping for the smallest window unit air conditioner or portable AC. I didn't want to do an actual portable AC because of the power draw, but I might as well just go ahead and do it and always make sure I take the generator, which it just, once you start doing one thing, you know, it just keeps adding on. The little Arctic Airs, they just run on 12-volt. So, you know, I have 12-volt power coming from the truck already, and I have a big-ass inverter. So I could run that without even thinking about it. But now I'm just going on this whole deal trying to find ways to keep us cool, especially if we got James with us, you know.
Yeah, definitely. That's been another option. Sorry. That's been another option about having something cool, because we found out, Ocala, that yeah, this stuff, it gets real. The heat is real. And so, I don't know. We'll figure it out. So, right now, it's 6 days till delivery day. And that's it, man. I'm super excited. This week is going to probably crawl by. So, I don't know. It is what it is, man. I'm excited.
Cool, yeah, well. So, I can't wait to watch the video too, and we'll talk about how that went here in a little bit. Anything else cool happening with you besides that?
No, just my cart. I'm going to break it down and clean it up this week and get it all ready for, I don't know, if we go practice or something next weekend, depending on what the rain is, because now we're getting into the Florida everyday rain season.
Okay, we're now getting to it? I thought we'd been there for like a month.
Yeah, well, we got that system that's just above us, so right now it's like 60% chance of rain all week. But once you get closer, it all dissipates. And so if we go to the track, you know, I got some things in mind that I'd like to work on, just because some stuff that happened in Ocala that, you know, we could talk about. And when I get into those situations, I know what to do a little bit better. So there's some things I want to work on, you know, so we'll see. We'll see how the week goes.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm going to try to do similar. I'm going to take your advice from this morning, see if I can get my yard work done. I'll finally unload the cart and see if I can get a few things done on it. I did get the bearings, and a big difference from just spinning the bearing. I know it's got no load on it, but I already, just holding the bearings in my hand and hearing no grind through them, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, makes a difference. So, yeah, I got new bearings for the rear, and I'm going to try out, going to want to try out some stuff on the bodywork. We also have the endurance karting event coming. I don't know if we've talked about that yet.
No, we haven't.
Dude, it's a month away.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe August 17th.
Yeah, we'll get the ball on that on another episode we could do for that. Shoot, cool. Maybe we'll do two episodes this week. Sounds
good.
Yeah,
I mean, we should. We need to get the word out on the endurance karting event. We still haven't figured out what kart we're gonna use, but we definitely want to run. I mean, we'll be there no matter what. But we should talk about that. Maybe that's our next episode.
Yeah, sounds like a plan to me. Well, it looks like James is starting to get hungry and he's opening up the office. So let me let you go.
Yeah, it's 11:30. Holy crap!
Yeah, you go ahead and get that yard going before the afternoon rains come, and I'll give you a shot here a little bit.
Sounds good, brother. Talk soon.
All right, guys. Well, y'all stay safe this weekend, and keep having fun at karting. We'll see you guys later.
Peace out.
See ya.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.